Barry and Abby?
Feel free to sit as close as you want on a Sunday. And by feel free, I mean sit close. So, well, we're just waiting for that. We have been doing a Love Our City theme. Yeah? Yes? If you've been here for the past couple of weeks? Yes. My mom's like, yes already. So the first week I spoke on God's heart for cities, I think. And then last week Steve spoke on, who knows what he spoke on last, it's a test for you, not for me. Yes? There, peace and prosperity in the city. Thank God someone was paying attention. I knew it had to do with cities, but I couldn't remember the theme. Anyway, this week I am going to be speaking on God's heart for praying for our cities. And next week, Andrew will be speaking on God's heart about ministering where you are. Ooh, which is a really good message and will probably kick your bum. Is this working? I'm so glad that the Catch the Fire IT guy goes to our church. So when I give him help me eyes. Oh, there's a play button. Yay! Love Our City. So that's the 4 weeks. I just wrapped it up. So we are doing this right next. So we want to have God's heart for praying for our cities, right? We need to be able to have his heart before we actually pray, because we know that praying is... My husband and my brother are conspiring against me to turn the microphone down. keep talking. So if we know that prayer is basically just talking to God, correct? I mean, like the very basic definition of prayer. If you didn't know what it was, that's what it is. That's how easy it is to do. It's just talking, but is talking to God. And so in order to be able to pray, I mean, talking to God, I don't need to come up here and tell you what to talk to God about, because, I mean, that's easy as breathing. But how to pray to God on behalf of something else can become a little bit more convoluted, because we're used to talking to God about us. That's very easy. But then suddenly when we talk about talking to God about a city, we're like, well, I don't really know. A city's like a thing. It seems impersonal. Like, how do I pray about it? Do I just be like, oh, bless Toronto? I don't know. Amen. And that's it. There's a little bit more to it than that. But here's kind of what we want to be looking at is, oops. I've done everything wrong. Is that cities are full of people. There we go. And that's why God loves them. It has really nothing to do with the actual, the buildings or the structure of a city, but it's the people in a city that God loves. And that's where suddenly you begin to have a characteristic of a particular city, because if enough of people of one type of characteristic go to one place, well, then overall, you can see at that city, you see certain characteristics come to light. So it's kind of like a classroom. How many of you guys remember in grade school how you had classrooms that were really well-behaved and then other ones that were really not well-behaved, right? Like, I remember grade four, we made our grade four teacher cry like multiple times. I was at a Christian school. We were so awful. We would just tease her, and she would just cry. It was her first year teaching too, and the principal had to come in and like yelling at us and stuff. Not me, of course, other students. I was telling them not to. And eventually, apparently after that, do you remember Miss Huberts? I didn't really like her very much. I don't know if she really liked her very much. That was the problem. But at the end of that year, she actually went to go be a missionary in like Africa or China or something, because apparently that was easier than teaching fourth graders. So she's like, I'll go serve the Lord in the mission field. That will be easier than these fourth graders that were so mean. But it's not actually the classroom that makes the children behave badly, or it's not a classroom that makes children behave better or more politely. It's actually the kids, the sheer number of kids within that classroom that kind of get each other going in a certain direction, correct? So that's where you can go to a certain city and you're like, I don't know what it is about this city. It just feels so warm. Andrew and I went to San Francisco. We totally fell in love with San Francisco. We didn't know what it was about. It was just like so warm and accommodating, and people were like so kind and artistic and a little bit like crazy. Like, it was a little out of the box. Like, hey, we're San Francisco. We can do whatever we want. Like, I just kind of felt that in the middle of the street, I could just start like yelling or doing a dance or something, and everybody would be like, that's awesome. People would join me. Like, that was San Francisco. I'm like, I love you, San Francisco. And it really is only because there's nothing about San Francisco necessarily, but enough people go there and start to direct, you know, life traffic in a certain direction that when you go to San Francisco, you just kind of have a feeling about, you know, the streets in that area are just kind of nice and it's warm. Or some cities, conversely, are cold. You go to visit them and you're like, not cold like here. I mean, Toronto is very cold right now. But you go to a city and you're like, I don't know, it just kind of feels very like businesslike, very like unaccommodating. And that's maybe just because enough people are there that are kind of shut down or they have guards up that eventually the city takes on that personality. And that's sort of what, that's a very simplistic example of what principalities and powers are. Principalities and powers are only given the right to like come and like show off in a certain area because enough people in that area are like, you know what? I think that we really want our city to be like hard and cruel and mean. And the principality is like, awesome. I will show up there. Or conversely, if the spirit is generous and kind and warm and giving, it's just that enough people there have basically invited a spirit about it. Does that make sense? It kind of takes all the mystification, like spirituality, like, ooh, what's the principality? What's the power? We have to name it. We have to claim it. No, it's just enough people there are asking for that thing. And so that thing hangs around. Correct? Right? Okay. Just so that we know. I'm going to get into that a little bit more. So God, if God had a calling card, if God had a business card, it would be, no, I'm sorry. Let's try that again. If the enemy had a business card, because it starts with that, and he had a calling card, it would say, like, Satan, I have come to kill, steal, and destroy. So anywhere that you see death or theft or destruction, you know that that's the enemy. And we often, Andrew and I often like to say capital E enemy, which is like Satan, which we all kind of know about in the church, but not really. We're just kind of like, he's the bad guy and God's a good guy, right? I mean, that's, at its very basic, that's what we know. We like to also say small E enemy because small E enemy can just, that can even be ourselves. Sometimes we can be our own enemy, right? We can be our own worst nightmare. We can trip ourselves up with negative thinking. And so if we start to realize, wait a minute, my thoughts about myself are, you know, they're killing me and they're stealing from me and they're destroying me. It could be capital E enemy. It could be like Satan, he's getting into my mind, he's controlling me. Or it could be, oh my gosh, I'm being so negative. Why don't I just not do that thing? And I can do this other thing, which will lead me to life and life more abundantly. Right? So it's not like a big showdown of epic proportions, you know, and like spiritual warfare. It could just be just think nice things instead of mean things. You know. At its most simple, again. And then if God had a calling card, it would be giving life and life to the fullest or life more abundantly. I love that often Andrew, he preaches on this and he almost makes it into a like a commercial, like a Coke commercial, a soda commercial where he's like, life to the maximum. And that's what I think of every time when I quote this verse. It's like, life to the maximum. Because maximum is always like in our corporate society, maximum is like the biggest, best that you can possibly get. Extra maximum. In the Amplified, it said, I come that they might have and enjoy life. So not just have life, like, well, I'm alive, so I guess I should be grateful. No, enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Is that not the life that we all want? Hello? There's a secret to full, overflowing, abundant, and maximum life, and God knows it. So he's not trying to keep it from us and being like, I know how to be happy. Come follow me. You know, have friends and influence people with God. He's saying, actually, I want to unfold that abundant life through everything that you do. When you're brushing your teeth, when you're going to the bathroom, when you're going to sleep, when you're going to work. He's like, there is abundant life everywhere you go. And I can show you where it is all the time. It's not hidden. It's just that through relationship with me, you'll spot it a whole lot clearer. Does that make sense? So with this in mind, we go to Jesus's inaugural speech, okay? So he comes, he's just been in the desert for a little while, and he comes, we were just talking about this last night, the Prestons were over, and Andrew was getting very passionate because we love these verses so much because they're so full of like energy and excitement and like passion. I love it. So in Luke 4, 17 to 19, basically Jesus is in the temple and he's like, hey, someone throw me that scroll. Because, you know, they had scrolls back then. They didn't have binding or the press or computers or apples. But I'm sure if Jesus was here, he would use one. So he says, throw me that scroll. And he pulls it open, seemingly at random. But of course, it wasn't random because they actually had daily verses that they would read. So it just so happened to be Isaiah 61 that he was quoting from, which is like the best verse ever, best verses ever. So and there was handed to him the roll of, sorry, I'm reading from the Amplified. So that's why there's all those square brackets, but I like it. And the book of the prophet Isaiah, he opened, unrolled the book and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. Pause. Don't you think this is a little presumptuous? I mean, if everyone of this particular culture, Jews, were waiting for the Messiah, like as long as there has been Jews, there has been waiting for a Messiah. And then Jesus comes, he's like, hey, you know that? That's me. It would just be a little bit presumptuous, but I love it because he's like, well, you know, it's true. To preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. We often mention the gospel. Well, did you tell them about the gospel? What? What does that even mean? Have you ever thought about that? The gospel. But I have, it's my Bible, I guess. It's something about the gospel. Preach the gospel. It's the good news. And why is it good news? Because God's calling card is life and life to the maximum. That's good news. You know what's not good news? Hey, try to be a good person for the rest of your life. If you slip up, feel really guilty about it, and then come crawling back to God and maybe he'll forgive you. That's not good news. That's bad news. That's worse than living as like a sinner and not even caring about what you do, right? Because there's no repercussions. That's worse. So if you're going to like, my mom, that's what I just said. That's what I just said. I can just hear it. It's so funny. It's like this running commentary in the back of my mind. What was I saying? Oh, but it's true. If we as Christians are going to go around being like, we have life and life to the abundant, and we're going to go around basically clicking on people's like, not even consciences, but basically awake them to the fact that, hey, they have a lot of like poop in their life, and God has a basically has a plan to save them from the crap in their life. What would be good news? Once you're aware of all the stuff that you're in, you're like, wow, this is really messy and really dirty. I literally didn't know before because I didn't care. Good news would be there's a solution. Bad news would be, well, now you know. My job is done. Gospel preached. And then we go off. Like, it's so sad and depressing. Anyway. So the good news is what the gospel is, by the way. The next time someone says a gospel, you should quiz them and be like, do you know what that means? And they'll be like, Jesus. He has sent me to announce, release. I must have taken out a bracket. Anyway, to announce release to the captives, and recovery to sight of the blind. Now, we often talk about Jesus, I mean, in his actual ministry on the earth, was actually making people who were blind be able to see. I would say that that is blindness of all sorts. Emotional blindness, mental blindness, just reality blindness, blindness to the fact that God is really nice. That's a huge blindness, right? And set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. Doesn't that sound like the opposite of the enemy's calling card, right? This is his inaugural speech. This is like, you know, like Obama when he came into power and everyone's like, and all the, like the internet was crashing because everybody was watching it on the internet, including myself at work. And because I wanted to see, I'm like, well, I don't know. He's like the president of the flipping United States. What is he going to say? Is he going to crack a joke? Is he going to cry? Like, what's going to happen? People are interested in it. It's the first time that he speaks as a certain person in power with that new title. So Jesus is saying this. I'm the Messiah. This is what I stand for. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. What? Isn't that so good? Oh, I love the Amplified. So far, let's just recap. So far, we have good news, release, recovery, deliverance, and free favors. Does that sound like good news? Maybe a little bit more. Yes? And what I love is that this is taken from Isaiah 61, and it's actually, he's only quoting what we know as verses 1 to 2. Of course, they wouldn't have really had verses. They just had like a scroll, a really long scroll with Isaiah, like, dear people, and then at the end, love Isaiah. But it was like, it just kept going and going. So verse 3 in Isaiah 61, verse 3, which Jesus didn't quote or maybe didn't quote Luke didn't quote Jesus quoting, if that makes sense. It goes on to say, to grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem, so we're talking royalty now, of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment, the expressiveness of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit. Is this amazing? That they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for the uprightness, justice, and great standing with God. Ugh! The planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That's how Isaiah continues. And you can just imagine, too, because they're like, they're Jewish, so they're so passionate about everything. But I love that this is what Jesus is saying. This is my inaugural speech, people. I'm the Messiah. This is what I stand for. Who's with me? And you can imagine people are like, that sounds like good news. I like that thing that you just said. God loves a city. I need you to be able to ingest this and to really understand it instead of just being like, this is knowledge for my head. I will forget it once I leave for lunch. God loves people like the burgers love Noah. That's how God loves people. So it's not just, I mean, I think that we understand it to a certain extent because we're like, yeah, God loves me like he's my dad, which is kind of like my earthly dad, but you know, not really. I mean, he's much better. God's much better than my earthly dad. I understand that. And he's kind of like, he forgives me, so that's good. And he like died or something. That's good, I guess. But he's like, he doesn't just love us like, good job, my son or daughter. I am proud of you. I am your dad. It's more than that. It's like the burgers love Noah. It's like Noah getting a little bit frustrated and getting a frown and starting to shove Melissa away because she keeps kissing him all the time because he's so fat and chubby. It's like peppering us with kisses. It's being like we're asleep and he's like, oh my God, she's so cute and he's sleeping. And we're not doing anything at all. We're just sleeping. It's almost obnoxious love. It's like, I got it already. And he's like, mwah, 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 mwah. Yeah, got it. Mwah, 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 mwah. Okay, Dad, seriously. It was embarrassing. That's how God loves people. All people. Just Christians? No. All people. Jesus came so that he could die for Christians? No. All people. He's kissing them and 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 tickling them and kissing them and kissing them, whether they realize it or not. He is kissing Bin Laden. I don't know why I even mentioned that. But he's kissing like the people that we love to hate, you know, in our like justification. We're like, well, that person should be punished because they are a bad person. He's kissing them and kissing them and kissing them. When Hitler was alive, he's like, I love you, Adolf. You little 80. You're so cute. I just love you. I love you. What the heck are you doing? Don't do that. But oh my gosh, it doesn't matter. I love you. 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 Please stop. I love you. Don't do that. I love you. 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 It's okay. I love you anyway. That's really hurting my heart, but I love you. I love you. I love you. Kiss, 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 kiss. Adolf. Got it? Okay, so now we put 6 million squishy babies into a city, and how much does God love that city, right? It's not just like, that city's evil. It's so easy for us to do that, and, you know, we're Christians, so we don't do that. We don't, you know, pray evil things, and people aren't evil, and cities aren't evil. We understand because we're very mature, but when we've been praying for a particular city, what do we pray, positive stuff or negative stuff? Are we like, well, we just bring down, you know, the demons of wealth and power and control and we come against independence and all of these negative things, and we can see them because we have such amazing discernment and we're just gonna call them out and bring them down? And yeah, absolutely, that's cool. But why don't we just pray the opposite? Why don't we pray for, exactly, why don't we pray for blessing and favor? Why don't we just pray for dependency and interdependency instead of just like praying against independence? Well, we could do it that way. I'm sure it still works. And God's like, okay, I'll take that. But our hearts change so much more when we're praying the positive over something. Think about a person. If we know that they're dealing with alcoholism, for example, we're like, well, we just take down the powers of like of habitual drinking, and we know that, you know, he's lonely, so we pray against loneliness, and we pray against this, and we pray. Why don't we just say, we bless you with freedom. We bless you with the ability to see clearly, to be able to not, to find comfort in God and find comfort in joy in life so that you don't have to go to a bottle. Like, our hearts change. The situation hasn't changed. God's still kissing the heck out of that person. So it's not like he's like, oh, you've prayed the right thing. I love them more now. Now maybe I'll save them. He's like, no, I'm kissing their faces off. It's just that you feel a little bit more like kissing them now too, don't you? Instead of, that's their issue. And we can make this about a city too, because I really feel that I've been involved with intercession for years. I love intercession. I love being able to be in a group of people where you all kind of get the same idea about something. It's like so creepy. We're like, I don't know, I kind of saw like this. And you're like, oh my gosh, I saw that too. That's so creepy. I thought of this first. I thought of that first too. Ah! And then you all get together and you get really excited because you know that it's not just a coincidence that you're all thinking the same thing. It's obviously Holy Spirit, as if we, you know, needed more proof. But we're like, oh my gosh, he really is real. Hooray, hooray. And then we go off and we pray in that direction because God's like, hey, psst, pray about this. And we're like, yay, while he's kissing our faces, you know. And that's what I love about intercession. It gets me really excited. But I can't tell you the number of times, myself included, I've been involved with intercession and all we're praying for, or at least the majority of what we're praying for, has a negative tone to it. We're praying justice because this city is so evil. We just pray for the Lord's justice. Stay away your wrath, Lord. He's like, dude, I killed my son, okay? We're cool with the wrath now. Just pray nice things, okay? Can we just pray nice things now? I poured out all that anger, all that frustration out of my son. He died. He's back to life again. That was a really long time ago. Can we move on? Pray nice things. And not just like cover it over like, oh, just pray like blessing and intercession. But like actually pray for them like they're a person. Get to know them. Get to know a city like it's a person. I keep coming back to this because I feel like it's really God's heart. Cities are like people and God is kissing the city. I mean, again, 6 million squishy babies in one geographical place. That's amazing. A vat of babies. There you go. A city is a vat of babies. I've lost everyone. So anyway, so what's my part? I'm so glad I put my own slides here. It's not for you, it's for me to keep you on track. What is my part? Thank you, Sarah. What we need to do is make this, God kissing us and loving us and having the best in mind for us. I have plans for you. I have plans for you. They're going to be great. They're going to be wild. They're going to be full of me. This, make this like that. That's our job. Make this like that. God already wants to do it. He's already doing it anyway. Wouldn't you like to be involved? Make this like that. Bring the kingdom here on earth. Or rather, realize they're the same thing. That's really what we need to do. Because our eyes have been opened, we now have the amazing, I was going to say responsibility, but that doesn't sound amazing. The amazing experience of being able to go around opening the eyes of other people and opening the eyes of an area. It's almost like if Toronto had eyeballs, we'd be like, hey, Toronto, look around you. Do you realize how amazing it is? Phone. Do you realize how amazing it is? Like, do you realize how much God loves you? That he's kissing you all the time, Toronto? Toronto, wake up. Look, look, look. That's intercession. Now, I don't know about you, but when I started to tap into God's understanding of cities and God's understanding of people, it made me actually want to pray for them. Because beforehand, I knew it was something I had to do. You know, I'm like, well, yeah, it's my like Christian obligation. I should probably pray for places and things. But after this, I was like, oh my gosh, why wouldn't I want to do that? That sounds like so much fun. Doesn't it sound like fun? Because you know that it's going to be okay in the end. It's not like the onus is on you to pray your face off about something or God's going to destroy it because he's so mad. That's a type of intercession that I have been exposed to. And in my mind, I've been like, well, yes, absolutely. We need to pray against the evil. God's like, I'm really not that worried about the evil. Let's just pray good things. So another one of the phrases that we like to use is, what does something look like redeemed? What does marriage look like redeemed? What does like humanity look like redeemed? What does masculinity look like redeemed? Not what our media says, not what our parents say, not what our culture says, but really in God's mind, Jesus came to redeem everything, all of creation. What does global warming look like redeemed? right? What does traffic look like redeemed? What does construction look like redeemed, right? Ronson's Fails has had a lot of that recently. Well, what does it look like redeemed? It doesn't mean that we have to go fix it, but if we have a vision of the way it's supposed to be and you're like, ah, that's the way that God had it intended all along, you pray towards that. And it's always going to be possible. It's always going to be possible, and it's always going to be positive when we get God's perspective. I love these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, you are children of the light and children of the day. This is you guys, okay? We do not belong to the night or to the darkness because we can see. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Now pause. I know that at this point we're going to continue to read, but often Christians are really good at this. Our eyes are opened, your eyes are closed. We are awake and sober, you are drunk. We are in the light, you are in the darkness, right? Because we like this, we like clubs. Humans like clubs. What can I say? However, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate. Justice and anger? No, faith and love as a breastplate. So we're going to war, but we're warring on behalf of love. And hope of salvation as a helmet. We're like, we know God died for all. Well, that's going to be the thing that's going to protect my mind as I go into this. I'm not going to allow negative thoughts to impede my prayers. I'm going to know God died for everything. This is redeemed. It is redeemable. It is fixable. How can we fix it? For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's been done. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only difference is we get to be a part of opening other people's eyes. But they're with him. That's his heart. He's like, whether you're awake or asleep, I'm still kissing your faces off all the time. Your drunkenness doesn't offend me. Your sin doesn't offend me anymore. I'm not surprised by what you do. I'm not shocked. Oh, that's so awful and horrible. Wow, I'm so shocked. I'd never thought of that sin before. You just made it up. That's amazing. He's not shocked. He's kissing us while we're sinning. He's kissing us. He doesn't stop. Therefore, encourage one another. Why? Because those who are awake and asleep, God wants with him all the time, living with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I want that to be an encouragement for you guys because I know that you are already doing that. I know that you're like, yes, Sarah, I'm taking this. I understand it. I am already doing it. I'm not saying you're not. This isn't a you've been doing badly. I'm going to put you on the right track message. It means keep doing that even more so. Keep being even more positive. So when we pray with God's perspective, this is what we get. God enlarges our heart and vision through prayer. So absolutely, it's for the area that we're praying for, but it's actually primarily for us. So we can stop being such naysayers and actually pray something positive about the area that we live in. We get God's strategy through prayer, and it makes us more effective. Right? With prayer, we can release the kingdom around us and, more importantly, through us. We are the kingdom. We get God's heart through prayer, and his heart is more love for people. Always more love. Not less love, not toning it down because, well, there's some sort of balance of like lots of sin equals less love, less sin equals more love. It's not like that at all. Always, always, always love. Whether you're asleep or awake, doesn't matter. He's kissing you. So we only have, oh, I love this. God gave me this as well. How would you pray for your best friend? So often we'll pray for a city, and it's very easy to be detached from a city, even if it's our own city. But how would you pray for your best friend? If they were really going through something, you'd be like, mercy, Lord, have mercy. Just pour your grace over them. Give them comfort. Give them love, Father. How would you pray, those of you who are married, how would you pray for your spouse? You wouldn't be like, condemnation, Lord, bring justice in this situation. Well, maybe you would. But hopefully, if you have a somewhat decent marriage, you're praying like, oh God, like it's their behavior or whatever it is that they're going through. It's breaking my heart, but I love them. I love them. I love them. I love them. I know you love them because we're so connected with God's heart to that person. if we had God's heart for that person the same way that we have for our best friends and our spouses, but we had that heart for every person on the earth, our prayers would be a lot different. They would absolutely be a lot different. And what I love is, how would you want someone to be praying for you? You know your junk. Do you want them to be like calling down, you know, like justice upon you? You're like, no, I know I mess up. I'm so sorry. I know I'm a jerk, but I don't need to be reminded of it right now. Toronto's like, I know. Sometimes I'm a huge jerk. But what I really need is your grace. What I really need is your prayers for, like, your positive prayers and helping me out. Please, will you help me out? I know I've got crap. Everyone knows they have crap. Pointing it out is, like, so simple and mean. So, in the next 10 minutes before we all leave, I want us to do something. And I got this idea, and I rather like it. What I'm going to do is, I've figured out, and actually it was creepy, in pre-service prayer, Ruth was saying that I was going to be pointing out maps in my, like, my words. And this is my next slide. No kidding. And she's like, I just felt like there was going to be, like, red dots on the map. I kid you not. She got this prophecy. And I'm like, no. Yes. Okay, you can't really see it very much, but the A is us. That's 400 Roncesvalles Avenue. That's where we are right now. It's a review. We love you, review. And what we are going to do is, there are going to be four areas, okay? So the first one, Roncesvalles, going to take a couple of seconds on each. Roncesvalles is basically this street that we're on right now, but it's also an area. So it's all the streets coming off of it. Roncesvalles, really, right now, you could definitely be praying, like, peace and prosperity into this area. The city, the businesses have been doing very poorly, or have been doing not as well as they have been before because of the construction. So you can definitely pray for this area. The other area is Bloor West Village, which is basically, see the big green area? That's High Park. So it's just north and a little bit west of here. This area up here is High Park. It's a very affluent area. It's very, like, 2.5 kids, and you're, like, your Labrador, and you go to yoga. It's really beautiful, and it's a very warm, inviting area that people really enjoy living in. It's affluent, so a lot of the houses are very high-priced, but it definitely needs, obviously, a lot of Jesus. The Junction, which is a really cool area, which has just begun. See the gray line going up? That's a train track. And then at the top, there's a gray line going along. And basically, where those two tracks meet, it's called the Junction, because that's where the tracks meet. And it has, over the course of history, been kind of like a down and out area. It's suddenly become, like, one of the hottest spots in Toronto, with little businesses starting, a lot of, like, antique shops. It's absolutely, like, one of the funkiest areas in Toronto all of a sudden. And the fourth area is Parkdale, which is this area down to the south by the lake here. It actually says Parkdale, but it's kind of small. And this area, actually, if you know about the history of it, in the 20s, it used to be basically where all the richest people in Toronto lived, more than Rosedale. Parkdale was, like, the richest area in Toronto in the 20s. And you know the little the place down Palais Royal? Palais Royal? Yeah. That's where everybody would go. Like, that was the place to be seen. All the, like, movie stars would go there. It was, like, huge. And what happened was, the Gardner was built, so it kind of cut Parkdale off from the lake. And then in the 70s, you know, CAMH, the hospital for mental health, they had a budget cut, and so they actually had to release a lot of the people who had been getting treatment at CAMH, and they all moved into High Park area. And suddenly, like, the top of the top plummeted. Isn't that so weird? But you know, when you know the history of it, because people are like, ooh, Parkdale. Like, it's like Jane and Finch. It's like, ooh, it must be so, like, bring a gun because you might get shot. Like, I've heard so many jokes about it, but I'm like, does anybody actually know what its history is or what it could look like redeemed? The houses are just still as beautiful, right? And the only reason those people are down and out who moved into that area is because they had been getting treatment and they were cut off, right? They have hope to them as well. And actually, it's starting to build up again, which is really, really cool. So these four areas, what I'm going to do is, Mom, can you come up here? I'm trying to think of, like, Gordy, can you come up? Jim, can you come up? And Seth, can you come up? Mm-hmm. Mom's like, why am I involved? And what I want you to do is, oh, you were mentioning Roncesvalles this morning, so I'll give you Roncesvalles. Here you go. You might have to come to me. It's okay. It's just a stage. Don't be scared. Can I have my four volunteers basically go to, like, this light, this light and that light. So four different areas. So Jim, that light there, Seth goes there, and Gordy can go over there. Now, I want you guys to all, each of you, go to at least one of these spots. You can switch if you want, and it doesn't have to be where you live. It doesn't even have to be where you work, although it could be either one of those. Just go to one of them, whichever one God puts on your heart, and what you're going to be doing is praying in groups for that particular area. Got it? Go. No one's moving. Go. Okay, go. Abby and Barry too.